in church this morning. I can tell you the truth and say there's no place on this earth I'd rather be on a Sunday morning than in church. It's my favorite place to be. I tell people if we had church every day, I'd go every day because I need it. I need preaching every single day. If you got your Bible, let's turn over to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. For those of you that don't know, my name is Hunter Horton. And I have been here, it's been a few years, but I recognize a lot of you. And so that's a real encouragement, but I thank you for having us back. My wife and my son tagged along, and y'all pray for him. He does good right up until I get ready to preach. And then he throws a fit, and his mama has to take him out. So y'all just pray the Lord work on his heart where he'd sit around and hear some preaching. Proverbs chapter number 4. I want to try to be an encouragement to you this morning. The Bible says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I find myself a lot of times I lack when it comes to rebuking and reproving in my messages. And it's just kind of, the way I'm geared. Maybe it's a fault of mine, but I want to try to help people and encourage and exhort people because I know what you're up against as Christians, and I know what churches are up against. And so I want to try to help you this morning, maybe just give you something to help you along the way, and never would want to do any harm, certainly. But this is one of those verses in the Bible that you hear people say, you know, I read that verse and it just jumped out at me. It just flew off the page and got stuck in my mind. And that was the case with this verse. And it's a very simple, nothing hard to understand, but that's probably why I was able to get it so quick. But in Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse 25, Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse 25. I've got a simple message for you this morning. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Father, we thank you for bringing us to church this morning. Lord, thank you for the good crowd that's here, the good spirit that's here. Lord, thank you for all these nice folks that came out to church this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them. Lord, I pray you'd be in this service. Lord, I ask you help me to preach in a way that would be pleasing to you and that would help others, that would encourage them, Lord, and lift up your name. And Father, we just want to brag on you this morning and give you all the honor and glory for everything. Lord, thank you for a church that's still going. Still got their doors open, still meeting and having services, Lord, and I know that you'll bless them greatly for that. And Lord, I just ask you, help me now as I preach, Lord, guard my mind and my heart and my mouth. I don't want to say anything that you don't want me to say. Lord, I just want to be a help to somebody today and please you, and we just ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Now, we see this passage right here, these three verses we read, it's personal. The Bible's written, I know, to everyone, and we all take it individually, but this passage right here, it's like he's writing to an individual. It says, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The way that things are going nowadays, you're not going to change a lot of people's minds. You're not going to change the way the world thinks, but you can control how you think. You're not going to change the depravity that this thing is going down into. You're not going to change the state of the church. You're not going to change the state of society, but you can control what you do. You can control what you look at, and that's what the Bible's saying right here. It's a reminder that, hey, whatever's going on around you, I picture like a dad talking to his son is what I see when I read that passage. I can remember as a little boy, I loved to hunt and fish. I grew up loving it, and I still do. And I can remember as a little boy walking through the woods following my dad, we'd be headed to a deer stand or going to get set up on a turkey. And man, I'm just enamored with everything going on around me. I'm listening to the birds and the squirrels, and you know, I'm kicking rocks and breaking sticks. And my dad would often say, "Son," he said, "you sound like a herd of elephants going through the woods." He said, "I don't know how in the world a five-year-old little boy could make so much racket going through the woods." He said, "Watch where you step." He said, "I'll tell you what, better than that, you look at my footprints ahead of you and you try to step in my footprints." He said, "Don't worry about what all's going on around you. Don't worry about the squirrel that's barking over here. Don't worry about the crows that are hollering over here. We're going to that turkey that's gobbling. That's what we're looking at. You don't look at anything else." And that's what I see when I read this passage. It's some personal instruction. And we can apply it to the Christian life that, hey, whatever's going on around you, whatever's happened that's got you distracted, just look past it. That's some good common, I call it cornbread country sense. And if it ain't country and cornbread, I don't understand it. So I'm thank God there's some passages like that in the Bible. But it's just common sense. Just look right on past whatever it is that's got you distracted. And I thought about some areas that I struggle, maybe you don't. But as me personally, some things that I deal with that might hinder me from looking the way I need to be looking. And I realize I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but I just want to try to help you, give you a little reminder. Number one is despite discouragement, look right on. It's like the Bible says, "Let thine eyes look right on." Now, if there's anything in the world that'll take the wind out of a Christian sail, it's discouragement. I mentioned in Sunday school, we take our kids every year, our youth group, to a youth camp, and let them hear some preaching and just kind of literally detach from the things of the world for a week. And man, I've seen God move up there, and I've seen Him get a hold of some young people. And this last one we went to in July, we had 5 teenagers get saved. And it's amazing to go out there and see that stuff. But you know what I always find when we come back home is that there's a group of Christians somewhere and they see a young person that is on fire for the Lord and they got things right in their life and they're going to try to live better and they're going to try to live against the odds and they're going to try to make a difference and they're going to try to live a clean life for the Lord. There's always another Christian right there to put the fire out. Always. And a lot of times what it is mama and daddy. And I'm just going to shoot you just straight down the line this morning. When I played baseball, I didn't want to see no junk. All right, I wanted it. Give me all you got, belt high right across the plate, let me swing at it. That's what I'm going to give you this morning. I'm not going to throw you no curveball. But we get things right with the Lord, and those young people come home and they're ready to do something. They're ready to get away from all the filth they've been dealing with, and mom and daddy say sometimes, you know, don't take that stuff so serious. That's discouraging. It's discouraging when you're around Christians and it seems like they don't care. It's discouraging when you go through hard times and you're literally fighting tooth and nail just to try to do something for the Lord and to try to live a good life, and it feels like you cannot gain one inch. That's discouraging. It'll make you want to throw in the towel. It'll make you want to quit. Just when things seem to be going like they ought to be going, the bottom falls out and you get discouraged. We're not above it. You think about some of the great preachers in the Bible. Think about Elijah. He's my favorite Old Testament prophet. He was the greatest preacher in the Old Testament. What happened to him? He got discouraged. He got discouraged to the point that he wanted to die. He told the Lord, he said, "I'm no better than my father. Just let me die. I'm ready to die out here under this juniper tree." So surely, if a man like Elijah can get discouraged, you and I could. What do we do when we get down? Well, we remember, like we taught this morning, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but over in Revelation chapter 3, in that letter to the Laodicean church, we're reminded there that, hey, we need to tighten up. It's what the Lord's telling us, more or less. Hey, you either need to get cold or you need to get hot. It's just reminding us, like He does. And he says at the end of that chapter number 3, he said, I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in a furnace of fire. Lay up some treasures. There's still plenty of opportunity to do something for him. Discouragement is driven by the wrong perspective. It's driven by the wrong perspective. We think just because we're facing opposition, or just because that we're having trouble in our church, or we're having trouble in our life, that we're outside of the will of God. Where do you read that in the Bible? Paul said in 2 Timothy, I think it is, around chapter 3, verse 10 or 12, I can't remember, but he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. That's a promise. Anytime you see that word shall pop up in your Bible, that's a promise. It's going to happen. So if we are living godly, the Bible says that we're going to suffer some things. So don't be led away with the idea, and like even you hear preachers say today, you know, well, if you're not living an abundant life full of joy and no heartache and no pain, then you're not right with God. That's a lie. That is about a dollar a pound at the Piggly Wiggly. That's baloney. That's what that is. Because I have found out that the harder I try to do something for the Lord, and the more I try to pray, and the more I try to read my Bible, and the more I try to be a better husband to my wife and a better daddy to my son, the more I try to go the extra mile, the harder I have to fight. Does that mean I'm not right with God? No. No, that means that somebody being the devil, sees that somebody else is trying to snatch somebody out of his hands and try to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's got all hell against you. It doesn't mean that you're not in the will of God. Doesn't mean that at all. So despite discouragement, when things come along and you close the book and you say, I tell you what, for whatever it's worth, I'm done. Just look right on. Just look right on past that. I asked my wife this morning, she normally sings with me, but it's hit and miss when we got little man. He may throw a fit right in the middle of the song. So I said, what do you think I'll sing this morning? And she said, sing that one, Thank You Says It Best. And boy, you start thinking about that song and I start looking at everything that the Lord's given me. I tell people all the time, you look at what I deserve and you look at what I got and the math don't add up. All the Lord's done for me. So hadn't He done enough for you this morning to just keep on going even though you're discouraged? You feel like I'm just spinning my wheels and I'm not moving. Nothing's getting better. It feels like I'm getting worse. Just look right on. Just look right on. Despite discouragement. I'll tell you another one. Regardless of results, look right on. You ever ask somebody to come to church and they say, I'll see you Sunday. I'll be there Sunday morning. Sunday morning, you're standing out on the porch waiting to greet them when they get out of their car. Smile on your face. It's 10:58. They're not here. Maybe they're in traffic. It's 11 o'clock. It's 11:01. They're singing. Everything's already started. They're not here. It's 11:05. They're not here. They ain't coming. Boy, that'll get you down. Have people, I promise you, I'm coming to church Sunday. I promise you. They don't show up. You go out and you try to witness to people, try to hand out some tracts. You ought to be doing that stuff. Just do what you can. Say, well, I can't talk to people. You can leave a gospel tract on the gas pump. You can leave a gospel tract on the table when you get done eating dinner. It's easy. You can leave them everywhere. You ain't got to say a word to anybody. Just do something. But you go out, and I remember one time my little brother and I, we had gone with Brother Jacob. He's been down here to preach. We went over to Auburn University one time on a Saturday, a football game, and we were going to pass out tracts. And we had to pass out a couple thousand. And I felt pretty good about it. Some people laugh at you. You're going to have that. But I felt good about it. Some people would take the tract and act like they were reading it, go on. Praise the Lord. Well, we turned around to leave, and we walked around the corner, and there was a bench sitting there, and there was probably 500 tracts on that bench. People had taken them from us and they walked around the corner where we couldn't see them, and they set them down. What's that? No results. No results. You do the best you can. You go out and you live right, and you try to be a witness to people, and you try to be a good testimony, and you try to invite people to the church and try to lead people to the Lord, and there's no results. They don't come. They don't get saved. They act like they don't care. What happens when all that goes on? Me being a young preacher, still, I've been preaching about 6 or 7 years now, I guess. I want to see some results. I want to talk to somebody and try to witness to them. I want them to bow down right there and get saved. I go to church. I want people to sing, and I want people to go to the altar, and I want all that stuff. But you know what? It don't happen all the time. I want to preach and help people and try to encourage people and see people respond. Sometimes they don't. A lot of times they don't. Just, amen, preacher. Amen, that's good stuff. I tell you what, he's been going 16 minutes. He needs to hurry up. No results. You know what? It's easy for me. I'll get all in my feelings and say, you know what, I'm done. I'm done. I ain't fooling with this no more. You know what this day and age is for you and I as Christians? It's a constant check of why you do what you do. It's a constant check of your motive. That Laodicean church that we talked about this morning in Revelation 3, this church age that we live in, upside down as everything may be, you know, you've got just as great an opportunity to do something for the Lord as anybody's ever had, ever, in any age. Today, you have that. But it's a constant check. Why do you go to church? Why do you try to live for your family, live right for the Lord, and do stuff for the Lord? Why do you try to please Him? Why do you try to witness? Is it to be seen of people? If it is, you're going to wind up discouraged real quick. You know what oftentimes the Lord has to remind me of? Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you doing it to be seen? Are you doing it to be praised? You want to preach the altar full, or you want to please me? Yes, sir. Are you looking for, what kind of results are you looking for? You want me to be pleased, or you want to see some emotional response? Can't have both. You want to see the church fill up, or you want to please me? We can fill the church up quick, but you're going to have to compromise to do it. What's it worth to you? Regardless of results. Let's look over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I told you that's a personal passage. You can insert yourself right there where he's saying thy and thee in Proverbs 4, I can say hunter. Look right on. Hunter, ponder the ways of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Hunter, move not to the right hand nor to the left. I can put myself right there. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we see another one. And I'll tell you what you do if you write or highlight or mark in your Bible. This would be a great place to do it if I can get turned over there. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, Paul's giving us a rundown of what to expect in this day and age. People sit around and gripe and complain about the state of the church and about how Christians don't care anymore and about how things just ain't like they used to be in the good old days. Why are we surprised by that? The Bible said it was going to happen. Look there in Let's just look at verse 9. Verse number 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 8, do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. And we'll say amen to that. We'll look over there at verse number 2, right up from that. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And we'll preach right there for a couple hours. Say, amen, preacher, this world's gone to hell in a handbasket. They've lost their natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. All that stuff going on around us. And, buddy, we will preach the fire out of that. Because it's true. It is going on. But look what he says down in verse number 10. Here's some words that you can underline or highlight or whatever you want to do, help you see it the next time. Two words, but thou. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Verse number 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Boy, that's prevalent today. There's some deception going on in Christians and in churches today. I believe we'd all agree with that. But look what he says again in verse number 14. But continue thou. It's personal. You. It's what he's saying. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And he carries over in chapter number 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. That's today. That's what we live in. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. That's true. That's going on today. But look what he says again in verse number 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. It's personal. Paul's saying, hey, I know the church is going to crumble down around you. Hey, I know Christians are going to fall out away from the faith. I know that the devil's going to gain some ground. And I know that people are going to turn their back on God. And I know that preachers are going to stop preaching the truth because people don't want to hear it. And I know that Christians are going to stop listening to it because it don't make them feel good. But you don't have to do that. You can continue in the things that you've always done for the Lord. You can continue in what you know is right. You don't have to be swept away with all that junk. You know the truth. That's what he's saying. I can see just plain in my mind. I don't know. I guess it's because I'm a dad now. That's how I view everything. Like me and my son or my dad to me. I can see the daddy and the son sitting there and he's saying, son, all this is going on around you, but you don't have to worry about that. You just do what I've taught you to do. And you'll be all right. You'll be just fine. You're going to witness to people and they're going to reject the truth. They're going to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to invite people to church and they're not going to come. You're going to show up to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and sometimes nothing's going to change. There's going to be no results. What happens, preacher, when that stuff's going on? You just keep looking right on. You just keep walking step for step the way you've been walking all these years. There's but a step between me and death. I'd hate to know that I got right to the finish line. I'd hate to know that I was finally about to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd been striving for Him and been doing what I could for Him and how good He's been to me. I'd hate to know that I quit right before He called us home. That was my greatest fear. But when the Lord was calling me to preach, He started calling me to preach when I was 18 years old. And for about 5 solid years, I ran from it because I was scared of being a quitter. Because I could look through my Bible, look on the cover of my Bible, and I could see where some guys signed the cover of my Bible, some preachers that I looked up to. And they would write a scripture verse in there, their life verse, or whatever it would be. And I could look in my Bible and I could see, and I could look at some of those names and they're not in the ministry anymore. Guys that could preach the house down and that had God's hand on them. And that my heroes, I could look in those names and you couldn't find them now with the FBI. They're not preaching anymore. They don't even go to church anymore. I don't want to be one of those guys. How do we avoid it? Just look right on. Just everything that's going on around you, take it with a grain of salt and you keep on going the way you know to go. He says, continue thou. Another one, in spite of Satan's snares, look right on. And I'm hurrying, I know we've been preaching 24 minutes. Satan's desire is your destruction. The Lord told Simon over in Luke 22, He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat. You don't think the devil's coming after you, mama and daddy? You don't think He's got His eye on your kids? We saw an example of that this week in what happened to that young man because he stood up for his faith. He wasn't a hater. He wasn't one that went out and condemned people. He just wanted to show them the truth, and they killed him. I'm not going to run off down that political road, but that's what happened. You don't think the world wants to shut your mouth? You don't think the devil wants to shut you up? You don't think he wants to get his hand on your kids? Listen to me. When I married my wife, I loved her more than anything that I have ever loved in my life. Didn't know I could love somebody that much. And I still do to this day. And that's a different kind of love. But when that little boy came into this world, I knew the second I heard his heartbeat before he was ever born. But when he came out and he looked into my eyes and I looked into his, I knew that I would give everything in my life for that little boy. You don't have to ask me if I would lay down my life for my son. I'd give everything. I'd fight. There ain't a man in this world that I wouldn't fight to protect my son. But I know the devil wants him. I know the devil will try to get between me and his mama to get to him. Listen, I think about some of these things that go on and involving kids, and it makes my blood boil. But you know, the devil wants to do that. I ask you, Daddy, how much you love your kid? Mama, how much you love them? You love them enough to pray over them? You love them enough to read the Bible to them when they can't understand it? When they don't know what you're saying, you love them enough to read it to them? To look at them at night and wake up in the middle of the night and see them sleeping? Or maybe they wake you up crying in the middle of the night and you got to sleep because you got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work, but you got to take care of them. You ready to pull your hair out? Do you love them enough to pray for them when that's going on? You want to protect them? I know you do. These are rhetorical questions. I know the love that you have for them. It's going to be put to the test. He's after your family. He's after your time. He's after your thoughts. He wants to close the doors to the church. How? He's not going to come in here with a pitchfork and set this church on fire and run everybody out of here. He's going to do it one step at a time. If he can get your compass off one degree, eventually you'll be off track. Odds are he's not going to just come at you and attack you with all these evil things. He's just going to come at you a little bit at a time. What happens when that's going on? You just look right on. You just keep going. Listen, all hell is against you raising a family for God. All hell is against you raising up a young person, raising up a kid that's pure and that's clean. All hell and all the world is against it, but you can do it. You're going to have to look past some things to do it. You're going to have to not be distracted. And you're going to have to, like my dad used to tell me all the time, just bow your neck and just stand up and just do it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, because some of it ain't fun. You're going to have to cut ties with somebody for the sake of your family. He's going to come at you one small thing at a time in spite of Satan's snares. I hope I'm helping you this morning. There's a lot I want to say. I'm trying to be an encouragement to you. I want to help you. I want years from now still be coming to New Hope Baptist Church preaching to the same group of people if the Lord don't come back. But I have to be honest and say I know what's against you. I know what all is coming at you. So what can I say that might make a difference? Just look right on. Just keep taking one step at a time. Forget about what the world's doing. Forget about what's going on in the community. and you just keep stepping the same direction you've been stepping since the day the Lord saved you. And He'll take care of you. Has He ever let you down one time? No. And lastly, in expectation of eternity, look right on. You know what really keeps me going? I love my wife. I love my son. I do anything for them. They keep me fueled up. They're why I get up and go to work every day. But you know why I do what I do for the Lord? It's not to flood the altars. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see people's lives changed. It's because I know that I'm going to see the Lord one day, and I'm not going to answer to Him for the results that I had in my preaching. I'm going to answer for Him in how I loved Him and what I did for Him. And you're not going to answer to Him for all the people you brought to church. You're going to answer to Him for how you loved Him and what you did for Him and what you tried to do for Him. I did a wedding last summer for my best friend. We've been friends as far back as I can remember. And he had found him a good girl, and they wanted to get married and asked me to do it. And I wish I had a picture of him. He is about 6'4", probably 315, with a blonde mullet. And I ain't lying. And we were at the wedding that day, and I was up on the platform, and you just have to know him. You just have to know him. If I had more time, I'd tell you about him. But he came walking down the aisle with the best man, and we were doing it where I was standing up here holding the Bible, and he had his back turned to the door. He didn't want to see her until she was standing there. And something happened. I don't know what happened. I never did get the whole story. But there was a delay in the bride coming through the door. And my big buddy up here beside me, he is got nervous. And he said, "Man, what's going on?" He said, "I just want to see her. What has happened?" I said, "Man, I don't know. I don't know where she's at. I don't see her. Something, she had a mishap with her dress getting out of the car or something." But it goes on for enough time to where it's awkward now, and it's probably 3 or 4 minutes. And he started crying. And he said, "Man, I just want to see her." He said, "Can I turn around yet? I just want to see her. I want to look at her." I said, "Just be patient. She's coming. She's coming." And we're talking back and forth. I'm trying to calm him down. He's telling me he's about to throw up. And he said, "Don't do that. That'll mess up all the pictures." You know, it just would not look good if you just keep it in. Keep it in. And he said, "I feel like I'm going to pass out." I said, "Just bend your knees a little bit. Don't lock them. It's going to be all right." And it went on and on and on. "Man, I just want to see her. I just want to see her. Where is she at? Where is she at?" And boy, I thought about that. And my mind drifted. And I thought about somewhere up in heaven. And there's a father and there's a son. And that son is sitting on the right hand of his father, and he's bumping him on the leg saying, hey, can I just go get her now? Can I just go see her now? I want to go get him." Who's he talking about? He's talking about me. He's talking about the one that he left. He loved her so much, he said, surely I'll come quickly. He's talking about his church, his body. And my mind drifted off into that, and I thought about, man, as excited as he is to see me and to see you, shame on me for not being ready to see him. You know what will help you in this life, Christian? You know what will help you? When trouble comes and when the discouragement comes and when doubt comes and when hard times hit your family, and I know all about that, when diseases come, you know what will help you? If you just keep your mind fixed on that country that we're going to and the one that died for us and the one that hears us when we pray. The Bible said He never sleeps and He never slumbers. The one who knows every tear you've ever cried. If you just keep your mind on Him, it'll help you keep going. An expectation of eternity. I believe He's coming back. I believe He's coming back very soon. I'll be honest with you. I look at this world and I don't really see how it could get much worse. And I just really feel like we're right on the edge of Him coming back. We've got to be. I don't know what the next step would be for it to get any worse. I'm sure it could. But you know, when He does come, and when He steps out on that cloud, I want to be looking. I don't want to be caught off guard with it. Say, yeah, but hard times have come, preacher. I understand. And if we live another day, some more will come. Preacher, I'm just discouraged. I understand. But if you keep going, you'll be discouraged again. You'll be on the mountain one minute, and you'll be in the valley the next. Preacher, I just don't know how much longer I can keep going. I understand. I know that you get weary and you get tired of doing the same old thing every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year, and nothing ever happens. I understand. What do I do? You just look right on. What do I do for another year? What do I do while we're going through this rough patch? You just look straight ahead, and you ponder the path of your feet, and you let all your ways be established, and you look right on. Father, I pray You bless the message this morning, Lord. I hope it was a help to somebody. Lord, maybe there's one that's hanging on by a thread. I don't know the situation, but Lord, I just pray that You take this Scripture and comfort them with it, and comfort them, Lord, and make heaven real to them and make Your Son real to them. And Lord, just remind us of how close we are to meeting You. Lord, I pray that You'd come quickly, and I pray that when You do come, Lord, we'd all be looking in the right direction. Father, I pray You'd take this message and bless it, and bless these people. In Jesus' name, amen.